So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Now, first of all, let me get started here by telling you that I have changed the way that I record this show. For the most part, over the years when you've been listening to this, I have been recording everything on mono. And when I did, I noticed that my wave, I don't know what you call it, sine wave or whatever it is, that tells you your peaks and your valleys and all that, where you're maxing out, were narrowed down towards the center, where stuff that I recorded earlier on, it was the full width. And I finally figured out what was wrong was because I was recording on mono. So I have now switched back over to recording in stereo. Unfortunately, it only records on one side. So I'm having to record this thing in stereo and then change it back over to mono. But what that's doing is it's allowing me to record closer to the maximum volume without going over it like I had a tendency to do before. So these shows should sound a lot more clear than the old ones from here on out. And actually, I'm really impressed because I'm further back from the mic now. I have full view of the monitor and looking at this wave here, and I'm almost a foot and a half away from the mic, whereas before I had to be within a foot. And it was a lot of times it was overdoing it. So these shows should sound a whole lot better from here on out. But getting that out of the way, last Friday, folks, history was made. I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but early last Friday morning, Apple became the first company to be worth $1 trillion. With a T, dollars. We're used to talking in millions and then getting up into billions. $1 trillion. It boggles the mind, folks. I just cannot imagine having that much money at your disposal. Now, granted, you know, the government spends, you know, several times that, depending upon who is in office. Now, obviously, W and Obama put an extra, what was it, almost $14 trillion more in debt, which is absolutely disgusting. But I remember when I was a kid, the national debt was $2.3 trillion, and Apple is worth $1 trillion. So back in the 70s, Apple could have paid off half of the U.S. debt. Amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, money does inflate, but still, that's an incredible amount of money for one company to be in control of. $1 trillion. Boggles my mind. So on a little bit of a lighter note, and oh, you may have noticed that starting last week, I started adding those little beats when I changed the subject in between. That was George's idea. So, George, let's go ahead and acknowledge you for doing that. It was his idea. He's found these things. So I'm going to insert those every time that I change the topic. And it's a little bit more like something you would hear on the actual radio. Now, speaking of radio, I've shared with you on a number of occasions the way that I interact with other radio shows. I have fun calling into different radio shows that are local here and interacting with the hosts on there. Some of these are humorous shows. Some of them are just simply, you know, dramatic talk shows. But I have developed a rapport with pretty much everyone who has the big shows around the area over the years, and I've shared some of those with you. One of them, the first time that I really, and that was long before I started getting into computers and recording things and that nature, I was interviewed by a local talk radio host who has a show on a radio station that blasts out at 50,000 watts. At night, it can be heard from like Halifax, Nova Scotia, all the way to Havana, Cuba. A very, very large radio station. And he had me on his show. I had recently run for office, had a very disastrous result. I ended up kind of just walking away from that race and trying to figure out what had happened to me. My first time running, was not expecting a lot of the whole white nationalist stuff to be thrown at me. But he had me on his show, and I was on there for an hour. He was very polite. He was actually more than polite. And it turned out that he was actually warned against having me in there, but he went ahead and had me on the air anyway. So that was the first experience that I had with being on a radio show. Now, I used to call into a show all the time under a different name. So when I told his producer, yes, I'd like to do this because, you know, I've known him for a while, and we had actually met out on location one time, and he didn't recognize me when I first came in. He said, you know, dude, I've never seen you before in my life. And I told him who I was when I used to call in to his show. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. We met. We're looking at that dude's Mercedes. You showed up on your motorcycle, and he remembered me. And he was very, very polite. And I have the utmost respect for that man. And that's why I've always tried to keep my show more on the respectful side. Yes, I will go off on people every now and then. But if I were ever to have a guest on the show, I would not attack them. I would treat them the same way that this man treated me. And I still run into him pretty much every year when he's out on location doing some charity fundraising and stuff. And it's always good to see him. You know, we always shake hands. We've developed a nice rapport over the years. He was very cordial to me, and I'm very respectful for that. Or I'm very respectful of him for that, I should say. So that's what really got me into initially wanting to do my own show. But occasionally during the week, I get bored, you know, because this is a weekly show. So I will call into other people's shows. And sometimes I'm put on, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I will call in directly, and sometimes I will call into voicemails. And I've shared some of these with you. Some of them are very dramatic, some of them are very emotional, and some of them are kind of funny. Well, it turns out that last week, the Olive Garden had posted, I think it was on Twitter, that they were coming out with a line of makeup. And after several hours went by, they came back and said, no, that's not really true. So we don't know if somebody had hacked the account or if it was their attempt at humor. But I decided to call into the local station in the morning who was somewhat humorous, and I've shared some of those with you before. Like 3D cat shirts, and I left a message on their voicemail. Only this time I did not call in as myself. Let me share with you who I actually called in as.
Before we jump into this round of It Happened in Florida, I thought it was important to get to our Fez line to follow up on some earlier topics.
Hi, this is Teddy Ruxpin. I'm so glad to hear that Alf is coming back. Maybe there's hope for me, too. And I'm so glad to hear that the Olive Garden wasn't real, because I'm coming out with my own line of lingerie. I'm going to call it Teddy's Petties. What do you think?
Step into my office!
What?
Because you're f***ing fired.
I think you nailed the voice. I gotta tell you,
good to hear Teddy Ruxpin calling in on our voicemail this morning. You can always do the same whether you're a bear or not.
So, needless to say, I had a lot of fun with that one. Normally when I call in, it's my own voice. I'm calling in as myself. But I called in as Teddy Ruxpin the other day. But I've also called in with a couple other voices over the years, including Yoda. And it was... Yoda, this is listening, you are too, and then the rest of the stuff of the show. But I have a lot of fun with these guys. We have a lot of fun back and forth with each other. You know, I've met them in person, and as I have with all the other guys that I call into, with the exception of one, we have some guy that's the legitimate, and when I say legitimate talk station, I mean it's not like a show in the morning like John Boy and Billy or Woody Wilcox, something like that. But the dramatic stuff that I call in, where you can tell it's a serious show. We have one guy that's only been around for about a year, and I haven't had the opportunity to meet him yet. But all the other ones that I call into, I do generally from time to time find them, you know, out in the field and get to know them, and we always have a pretty good rapport. So that's, again, that it was a little bit lighthearted. I just want to share that with you. Just got a friend request here, or the acceptance of a friend request from me, from somebody that I don't remember sending one out to, so it must have been quite some time ago. But sometimes, you know, you get out there and you have all these suggested friends on Facebook, and you just go ahead and send a bunch of them out. This one apparently came back. It's funny, I got one just the other week from Victoria Jackson that I had sent out. And she confirmed it. I don't get that many people sending me friend requests, you know, from the entertaining industry that much on Facebook. When I was on MySpace, I used to get them all the time because I was friends with Charlie Sheen. So I would get friend requests from just all kinds of people. The two that stick out the most were Larry the Cable Guy sent me one, and then I got one from a comedian, somebody I had never heard of before, somebody by the name of Gabriel Iglesias. So obviously he was Hispanic, but I said, yeah, well, you know, this is, I'm networking here. So I accepted the friend request. And I don't know, it was about a year later, I was fixing dinner and I had the TV on. And during a break in fixing dinner, I was kind of scrolling through the channels and I saw Gabriel Iglesias, Hot and Fluffy. So I called upstairs to my girlfriend and said, hey, babe, come on down. She said, what's the matter? I said, remember I told you last year some comedian friended me and I had no idea who he was? And she said, yeah. I said, well, he's coming up on TV. Let's watch him. She said, okay. So we turned it on and started watching it, and I ended up burning dinner. The dude was so funny. Yeah, I know he's Mexican. I understand that. But the dude was genuinely funny. But I had no idea at the time when I accepted his friend request who he was. I'd never heard of him. But it was Gabriel Iglesias had sent me a friend request. So it's kind of interesting the people that you kind of tie into, you know, online through various social media. My dad still can't understand how I can be watching something on TV that we're watching and I'll have a question and I'll say, well, you know, I'll find out. Let me ask them. He's like, well, how can you ask them? You don't know them. It's like, no, we are internet acquaintances, and I'll just drop him a message, and I'll ask him the question, and I'll tell you. And, you know, my dad, he's 84 years old. He just cannot comprehend the age that we live in where anyone can literally talk to someone else. And geez, you know, 25, 30 years ago, to think that anyone could get online and talk to, say, your favorite athlete or your favorite actor or your favorite singer or something like that. It was inconceivable. Thank you, George. Inconceivable. Jerk. But nowadays, with the technology, we are able to do that. And it's really cool to be able to reach out and talk to someone that you have admired or looked up to or just seen, and to be able to literally talk to them. Because a lot of these people will actually respond to you. If you see them online and you send them a message, they will contact you back. And I think that's really cool. A long, long time ago, somebody told me, and I don't even remember who it was when I got my first book published. They said, don't ever forget who you are or where you came from. And I always remembered that, because he's right. You know, you get these people like Bruce Willis who charge for an autograph, and they're complete, I can't use that word, but they're very rude. They have forgotten where they came from, but they would be nothing if not for their fans. And I never forgot that. When I would do book signings, if somebody wanted to sit there and talk to me, as long as there wasn't a big long line behind them, I would talk to them as long as they wanted to talk. And if there was a big long line behind them, I'd say, look, you know, I'd love to continue talking. Please let me just run these people through and I'll continue speaking with you. I never forgot that. And when I became an actor, I carried that over. And I never stopped being flattered when someone would come up and want their picture taken with me or to sign an autograph. I never forgot that. I never forgot where I came from. Who put me there? The people that wanted their picture taken with me or wanted my autograph or wanted me to sign a book, it was they who made me who I was at that point, whether it was being a writer or an actor. It was because of them that I was in that position. And I've never forgotten that. And any of you out there who are listening, who may be speaking, that sort of a thing, always take the time to talk to those who want to talk to you. You're special. That's why they want to talk to you. Make them feel special as well by talking with them. I gotta take a break. I will be back in a couple of minutes. Who put that keyboard there?
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Wow, that is reaching back. That was YNT, Mean Streak, leading in for that bumper. Now, originally back in the 70s, they weren't quite as hard. They were called Yesterday and Today. And then in the 80s, they kind of made that transition into the hair metal band that became YNT. And the interesting thing about them, they're originally from the Bay Area up around Oakland, but they're really, their big hit, their only hit, Summertime Girls, was shot down in San Diego alongside the pier. And you can very clearly see the pier in the background as they're doing the music video. And in 1988, I had the misfortune of living in San Diego. Actually, I lived in a little place called Lemon Grove, which locally was known as Lemon Groove. But I worked down not too far from the ocean. I worked about a half a mile away from SeaWorld, and we were right behind the sports arena, which locally is known as the Sports Aroma. So we're kind of in this whole juxtaposition area that was really, really, I'm not going to say it was the place, but it was a cool place. And if you were somebody, you kind of hung out in that area. And that's where my work was. So one morning we show up to work, and David Lee Roth and Poison were doing a concert at the Sports Aroma that night, and one of their tour buses was hiding out in the alley behind our shop. It was really cool. That kind of stuff would happen all the time. Now, getting back to YNT, why I'm talking about this is that right across the street from the shop that I worked in was a little business area. There was a movie theater in there, and there were a few businesses. Well, one of those was a place called Wiener Construction, as in hot dogs. You go and build your own hot dog. That's where everybody went every day for lunch. And one day, I'm sitting out there eating my wiener. That didn't sound right. One day, I was out there eating my hot dog, and I saw the lead singer for YNT come walking right across the courtyard there. It's just, that's, you know, how you might bump into somebody out there. It's completely different, folks, from the way it is really anywhere else, except for maybe the Hamptons. That was some place where you could really bump into people, too. But it was really funny because the movie theater was there. And yes, I keep saying theater. It's one of those few things I have not been able to undo. I still have to force myself to say boil, oil, and soil instead of ball, oil, and salt. And theater instead of theater. But anyway, as I will still continue to call it, there was a theater there. And every day for lunch, I would look over at the ticket booth, and there was this very well-endowed brunette who was at the ticket booth. And we kind of exchanged glances back and forth. Now, keep in mind, this is 1988. I was 19 years old at the time. You know, I didn't think anything about it, just kind of looking. Well, as luck would have it, years later, in 2006, I actually ran into her on Stormfront, and we got to talking about different things, and she told me about how she'd worked there, and we compared the timelines, and I gave her my description. She goes, yeah, I remember you sitting there. You'd always eat your lunch under the tree. Imagine that, folks. From 1988 to 2006, somebody that I had seen for a few months that far back, we actually started talking again. It's amazing. The coincidences that you run into in life, sometimes, folks, you just cannot script this. Was that a beat? George, was that supposed to be a beat? No, it was horrible. Give me something else I can work with, and get rid of that one. Now, that was much, much better. Now, let me get into an article here. I've got a few minutes left. Initially, this looks troubling. NRA is in deep financial trouble and may soon be unable to exist. That is the title of the article. But as I read through this, you will be able to read between the lines. The National Rifle Association has said it's suffering from substantial financial issues that could cause the organization to be unable to exist. In a recent court filing, the powerful organization that lobbies on behalf of gun makers, gun owners, and campaigns against almost all gun regulations said it had lost its media insurance coverage due to an aggressive campaign brought on by New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo. Yeah. Get where this is going, folks? The campaign encouraged companies to cut ties with a gun lobbying group. A lack of liability insurance threatens to shut down the group's multimedia dollar media entities, including NRA TV, its own streaming channel. You see what they're doing, folks? Do you see what they are doing? Let me continue. The NRA's inability to obtain insurance in connection with media liability raises risks that are especially acute. If insurers remain afraid to transact with the NRA, there is a substantial risk that NRA TV will be forced to cease operating. Well, this is something that they went on to say in their complaint that was filed in New York's Northern District Court on the 20th of July. Defendants' concerted efforts to stifle the NRA's freedom of speech and to retaliate against the NRA based on its viewpoints are causing other insurance, banking, and financial institutions doing business with the NRA. What this comes down to, folks, is that they are going after the people who support the NRA. They're not going after the NRA directly. They're going after the people who support them and insure them. And they're making them feel threatened and afraid. The article goes on to say, the complaint goes on to allege, and allege is in blue here, that other companies are being forced to rethink their mutually beneficial business relationships with the NRA for fear of monetary sanctions or expensive public investigations. Well, again, that's what I've been saying. You're being threatened, folks. The lawsuit arrives after the NRA was forced to pay a $7 million fine for selling an illegally branded NRA insurance policy. That policy refunded legal costs for NRA members who fired legal guns. New York State determined the insurance was illegal, writing the group was unlawfully provided liability insurance to gun owners for certain acts of intentional wrongdoing. Hey, folks. It's not the NRA that was illegal. It is New York State who's illegal. Man, it goes on. I'm not even going to continue with this. I just cannot, you know. The point that this country has gotten to, it never ceases to amaze me. How far down the rabbit hole we've gone. And this is an example of that. No, the NRA is not going anywhere, but let me just say this, folks. Send some money to the NRA. Make sure they stay operating. But states like New York and California, New Jersey and Connecticut, Massachusetts, that bring these kinds of lawsuits against the NRA, and they're against us. We got to stand up, folks. We got to take a stand. Support the NRA. Support all these organizations. Do what you can. Even if it's only $5, send something. Oh my God, I'm out of time. Got to go run, folks. I'll be back next week. Promise. Love you. Mean it. Out for now.